Haxamea again. And we were going over before about the Shemitah, you know, and the year of release. And I want to give a message today which is connected with it, more pertaining to the Jubilee, which is called the Kinsman Redeemer. The Kinsman Redeemer. So, the Shemitah, as we said, it's very important for several reasons. One of the reasons is it's a commandment, you know, that every seventh year we have to make sure we don't plant, we don't harvest, and we don't prune. We let the nature take its course, and we go back to Eden. We were talking about that in the other message. But it's also important, as we said, because of prophecy. You know, many things with prophecy go around the Shemitah, and we know that the Shemitah runs in seven-year cycles. And there's a seven cycle of seven, 49 years. And then we know the 50th year is a year that is set apart from that cycle. It's not part of the Shemitah cycle. The Shemitah just runs seven, seven, sevens. The 50th year is totally set apart to itself, and it is called the Jubilee. And we're going to talk about that today, because in certain ways, they're very similar. The Shemitah, you release debt. The Jubilee, you release debt. And the Shemitah, if you were a slave, you were released. And the Jubilee, you were released. But there's something very different about the Jubilee that you don't see in the Shemitah. And that's the Kinsman Redeemer. And that's what I want to speak about today. So Leviticus 25, I want to go there and start in verse 8. You shall number to yourself seven Sabbaths of years, 7 years times seven. And all the days of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. So it's interesting that the Shemitah is actually called a Sabbath. That's why we say it's the sabbatical year, because it's seven Sabbaths of year. So the Shemitah each time is a Sabbath year. And you shall let a ram's horn resound, a signal in the seventh month, in the tenth of the month. So we know from the Gezer calendar and other sources that the Shemitah starts when? It starts on Yom Teruah. On Yom Teruah, the first day of the seventh month, starts the Shemitah. But here, the Jubilee starts not on the first day of the seventh month, but the tenth day. Why? Because in both the Shemitah year and the Jubilee year, you can't plant, you can't sow, you know, and you can't harvest. So Yahweh is logical, and he understands if you're going to have 2 years in a row where you can't harvest, he's giving 10 days in between. So let's say the Jubilee was coming at, you know, this year. Let's say at the end of this year. What would happen is when the year ends on the first of Tishri, the Shemitah would have ended. Now you have 10 days or 9 days, because the Holy Eight, to go out there, and you can harvest and you can plant and you can do everything. So Yahweh is logical that he doesn't just want everything to fall off and rot and whatnot. And that's why he puts those days in between the two sabbatical years that come that way. And you shall make the 50th year kadosh, right? You shall make it kadosh. You shall make it set apart 1 year. And you shall proclaim liberty. Remember that word, liberty, because it's an important word for the Jubilee. It's important for the Shemitah, but you see this word connected more with the Jubilee than the Shemitah. You shall proclaim liberty in the land to those living in it. He shall be a Jubilee to you. He shall be who? Yeshua. Yeshua is our Jubilee, and we're going to see why. And you shall return every man to his possession. Yea, you shall turn back each to his family. So in the Shemitah, you know, you're forgiven debt that you may have, but in the Jubilee, you're getting back. You're not just being released from something you owe. You're literally being given back what you lost. It is a Jubilee year. The 50th year. The year Yobel is the Hebrew word for it. Or Yovel, whatever way you want to say it. The 50th year it is to you. You shall not sow nor reap that which grows of itself, nor gather from its unkept vine. Right? That's why you have, like I said, those 10 days in between. For it is a Jubilee. It is kadosh. It is set apart to you. You shall eat its increase out of the field. In the year of Jubilee, you shall return each one to his possession. Right? So what happens? Number one, Yahweh says the land is not to be sold. The land is his. That's verse in this chapter, verse 23. So everything belongs to Yahweh, but when the Israelites came into the promised land, what happened? They allotted lots to Ephraim, to Manasseh, to Gad, to Reuben. Everybody had an allotment of land. But, you know, this is life. What happens? People get in trouble. So people sell the land, right? Because they're out of money and they need this or they need that. But in the 50th year, in the Jubilee, everyone would get their land back. But they had to be redeemed by the kinsman redeemer, as we're going to see. It is a Jubilee. It is holy to you. You shall eat its increase out of the field. In the year of Jubilee, you shall return each one to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor... Okay, I'm going to stop at verse 13 there. Let's go to verse 23. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity. This is the scripture I was talking about. For the land is mine. That's Yahweh talking. For you are aliens and tenants with me. And you shall grant a redemption for the land and all the land of your possession. If your brother has become poor and has sold his property, then his kinsman redeemer shall come. He shall redeem the thing sold by his brother. He shall redeem the thing sold by his brother. So the kinsman redeemer, this is the person who is the next of kin, who is going to redeem to the people what was lost in that year. Drop down to verse 35. And when your brother has become poor and his land has failed with you, then you shall help him. He shall live with you as an alien and a tenant. You shall take no interest or increase from him, and you shall fear your Elohim, and the life of your brother is with you. You shall not give silver to him with interest, and you shall not give your food of increase. I am Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan to become your Elohim. And when your brother becomes poor with you, and he has sold and has been sold to you, you shall not lay on him the service of a slave. He shall be with you as a hireling. As a tenant, he shall be with you. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. Then he will go out from you, he and his sons with him, and shall return to his family. He shall even return to the possession of his father. For they are my servants whom I have brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold with the sale of a slave. You shall not rule over him with your severity, and you shall fear your Elohim. And your male slave and your female slave whom you have shall be, who you have shall be from the nations who are around you. You shall buy them as male slave and female slave. And also you may buy of the sons of the tenants who are residing with you, and of the families who are with you, which they have fathered in your land. They shall be a possession to you. Drop down to verse 47. And if an alien or a tenant lifts up a hand with you, and your brother grows poor with you, and he sells himself to an alien, a tenant with you, or to the offshoot of the family of an alien, after he has been sold, there is a redemption to him. One of his brothers may redeem him, or an uncle or the son of an uncle may redeem him, or any of his fleshly relations of his family may redeem him, or if his own hand has reached out gain, then he may redeem him. And he shall count with his buyer from the year of his being sold to him until the year of Jubilee. And the silver of his sale shall be by the number of years, as the days of a hireling it shall be with him. If there are yet many years, by the mouth shall be given back his redemption from the silver of his purchase. And if few are left of the years till the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him according to his years, he shall give back his redemption price. As a hireling, year by year he shall be with him, and he shall not rule him with severity before his eyes. And if he is not redeemed in this way, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, he and his sons with him. For the sons of Israel are servants to me. They are servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So you can almost see the Shemitah as like a mini Jubilee, but the Jubilee is really the year of freedom. That is the year where everything goes back to square one. You know, that's where you go back to Eden. That's where it doesn't matter if you were a slave, you're going to be released. If you lost land, you're going to get it redeemed, you know, by the kinsman redeemer that comes at that time. And it is like a mega, you could say like a mega Shemitah. And when you read this, the point of it is, why would Yahweh make these things? He's making it because it's indicative of the real kinsman redeemer. So that's what we're going to go in the message. I'm going to show you the many, many scriptures that are in scripture showing what the real kinsman redeemer is. And that's why even with the sacrificial system, you know, and most people will say, you know, that the Torah is done away with and there's no value to the Torah. And we know the only law in Torah that has been superseded is the Levitical priesthood that was added, right? It wasn't there in the beginning. But even under the Levitical priesthood, although we don't do animal sacrifices or any of that anymore, every single thing in the Levitical priesthood has meaning to us as believers. Because everything was a shadow to the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And we went over this some at Passover, when we were going over shadows of the Levitical system. But here it's the same way. When you're looking at the Shemitah year, and particularly the Jubilee year, mm-hmm. you know, in the year of release, in the year of Jubilee, we're looking at the releasing of mankind, not only from their sins, but the whole earth being released and going back to Eden by the kinsman redeemer. If we go to Colossians 2, in verse 13, and that's the key I always say, Yahweh works in patterns, and once you know the pattern never changes. So now, if we only read Leviticus 25, as a believer, you could see the pattern, but it's not as clear just from Leviticus 25. But once you understand the pattern, wow, it really magnifies throughout the rest of Scripture. And Colossians 2, in verse 13. And you who were once dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has granted to live with him, having forgiven all your sins. And by his mandates, talking about Yahweh, he canceled the legal contract of our sins, which existed against us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the torture stake. So literally, when we're looking at the Jubilee year, no human being, a human being may be able to redeem a piece of land back, and a human being may be able to pay a price that you owe to become a slave, but there's no human being who could pay the price of sin, because the price of sin is death, right? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life, right? So when we're looking at this, what do we see? We see when Yeshua doesn't come to do away with the Torah, but he magnifies the Torah. So what does he say? The Torah says, thou shalt not kill. But I say, if you thought anger, you murdered, puts everybody under death penalty. And the Torah says, you shall not commit adultery. I say, if you've ever thought lust, then you already did. Adultery is another capital crime. You know, so is idolatry. You know, using the wrong name for Yahweh is idolatry. That's a capital punishment. That's death. So again, a human being cannot save another human being. You know, in Ezekiel it says, if Job and Daniel stood before me and were perfect, they could only save their own life. You could not save the life of your wife or your husband. You can't save the life of your child. You can't save any life. And unfortunately, we can't even save our own, because each of us have committed sins worthy of death. So that's why only the creator of all of us, only the eternal being that is Elohim, who's been here forever, who created every single one of us, his life is worth more than all of us put together, because he created us all. So only he would qualify to pay the penalties and be the real kinsman redeemer. And that's what the Jubilee is really about. And that's why when you understand this, you understand Yeshua has to return right before the Jubilee. Because the Jubilee is about our redemption, not just of the land of Israel, yes. When he returns, he will give back each of us to the tribes that are allotment of land. But what good is that allotment of land if you're going to be buried there and dead? You know, I don't care where I'm buried. You could bury me in the backyard. I don't know where I am. It makes no difference to me. I'm unconscious. What I want to do is I want to know where I'm going to be for eternity when I'm alive. You know, death doesn't make any difference. So that's the reason why only Yeshua qualified for that. And that's what the Jubilee is about. It's about Yeshua coming back, not just to redeem the earth and to redeem the land, but to redeem each of us, our life back. That's the year of the resurrection. That's the year of redemption. Let's go back now to Leviticus 26. So the year of Jubilee is to redeem the land, to free the captives. And they're not captive by being a slave to man. They're captive by their sins. They're captive by their sins. Leviticus 26, verse 14. What does Yahweh say? If you do not listen to me and do not do all these commands, and if you reject my statutes, and if your soul hates my judgments, so as not to do all my commands to the breaking of my covenant, I will also do this to you, and I shall appoint terror over you, the wasting and the burning fever, destroying the eyes and the consuming soul. And you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies will eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies. And those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee, and there will be no one pursuing you. And if after these things you will not listen to me, then I will chastise you seven times more for your sin. And I will break the pride of your strength, and I will make your heavens as iron and your earth as copper. And your strength will be consumed in vain, and your land will not give her produce. And the tree of the land will not give its fruit. And if you walk contrary to me and will not listen to me, then I will bring seven times more plagues on you according to your sins. And send against you the beast of the field, and it shall bereave you. And I will cut off your livestock, and I shall make you few, as to your ways are desolate. And if you are not chastised by me by these things, and shall walk contrary to me, then I shall also walk contrary to you, and shall smite you even seven times more for your sins. So we see in the Jubilee, what is it? In the Jubilee, because of our obedience, or rather in the Shemitah, because of our obedience, that Yahweh is blessing the land to produce for us, and we don't have to do anything. And here it is, he's saying the opposite. If you're not obedient, the land is going to curse you. You know, and he's talking specifically here about the land of Israel, of course. That's the only land covenant. But in the Shemitah year, it's all over the earth. You know, wherever you are, your land will bless you or your land will curse you. But in the Jubilee year, it's a year where everything is being redeemed, particularly the land of Israel, but then all over the earth. And then if we drop down to verse 31, and I shall make your cities a waste, and I will make your sanctuaries desolate, and I shall not smell your sweet fragrances. And I shall make the land desolate, and your enemies who are living in it will be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the nations, and draw out the sword after you, and your land shall become a waste, and your cities will be a desolation. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation, and you shall be in the land of your enemies. Then the land will enjoy rest, and shall enjoy its Sabbaths. It shall rest all the days of the desolation, that which it is not rested in your Sabbaths while you lived on it. So we see that the covenant promises are conditional. They're conditional on the obedience of the people, no matter what it is in Scripture. So without the kinsman redeemer, who is technically, that word is used also for husband, you know, the husband, the closest legal relative who can redeem what was lost, the people cannot receive the covenant promises, even if they return to the land. So that's why today, wow, Israel being in the land, we know it. It's Yahweh that put them back in the land. I've talked about this 100 different times. You know, they had a punishment of 2,520 years, and when that punishment was over, exactly, you know, May 14th, 1948, Israel comes back into the land. But what happened? They did the same sins that they did before. And that's why for 70 years, Israel is not been blessed in the land. You know, they've had nothing but war and terrorism and fighting and all these things because they're not following the Torah. And recently it's even worse. You know, now even the Sabbath, no more Sabbath laws. You know, go to Israel, you'd be anywhere else on earth. Buses running, supermarkets open. And I remember when we were talking to our landlord, you know, we were so upset when these laws started a couple of years ago. And we're like, yeah, did you hear they're starting? And she's like, yeah, isn't it great? And as she's saying, isn't it great? We're saying, isn't it terrible? Isn't it terrible? Isn't it great at the same time? You know, my people love it this way. And what will be the end of it? It's sad to see. But it's not over for Judah either, you know, because the kinsman redeemer is not just coming back for Ephraim. He's also coming back for Judah. So there'll be a remnant of our brother Judah also there. They're going to go through a hard time. You could read it in Zechariah. 2/3 of the people there are going to perish. And the last third, they're going to come through, hell on earth. But Judah will also have a remnant. And in the end, all 12 tribes are going to be redeemed. So this is what the day is all about. So the Jubilee is just as important, if not more important, to our brother Judah, because they're in the land already. They're there. So they're there, but yet the land has not been redeemed yet. They haven't had their Jubilee. They haven't had their Jubilee. So it's sad, but this is what it's about. The penalty for sin has not been paid by them, and the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, has to pay the penalty and free the captives and restore what was lost. And once that happens, you could read in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Israel will be like a land without walls. You know, they're not going to need walls. They're not going to need the IDF. They're not going to need all the missile systems and all they have once the Messiah comes. Because Yahweh helped the nation who's going to try to come against them. We see it in Zechariah. They will. They're going to come against Jerusalem. And what happens? Their eyeballs are going to melt in their socket. And literally their skin is going to burn off their flesh. So that's all that has to happen. All they have to do is accept their salvation. Yeshua is salvation. And the rest will be easy from there. But it all happens for the Jubilee. That's what the Jubilee is about. And like I said, it's as much, if not more, to Judah than it is to us. So if we go to Genesis 6 and verse 1, I just want to show the timing, because interesting enough, there's no clear historical reference that shows a Jubilee ever happening in Israel. Because if a Jubilee is every 50 years, then all you need to know is one. If I know there was a Jubilee in 2323 B.C., then I have to know when one is, and I also have to know how to count. But then you have to do is count 50 years, and you'd know everyone. So the fact that we've never had a Jubilee, there are a couple of interesting places in Scripture that look like possibly this could be a Jubilee year, but we don't know for sure. One of them is with Joshua, right? When you look at Joshua and the breaking of the walls in Jericho, you know, and the seven times, could that be a Jubilee? Possibly, but we don't know. And what year was that? That's another thing. I mean, we don't even know. The Israelites coming into the land, it seems to be around 1445, 1450. But most of the archaeologists in Israel think it's in the 12th century. So there's a dispute. We don't know. And that's why when you're looking at records, right? The temple was destroyed in 586 BC. This happened over here. They're getting all their records from one premise that probably isn't right. You know, so it's very hard sometimes with historical things. You got to make sure, how do we know that's the history? Because we didn't have the dating that we have today. They didn't do it that way back then. So it's not always so easy. And that's why I say with the Shemitah year, we have 9 different references, including one from Yeshua himself. So we can account, as you look, they're all on the same cycle, that we could be pretty secure that our Shemitah cycle is accurate. But still, the most important thing is the Jubilee. That's the most important. The Shemitah, we have to keep it. You know, it's a commandment. So praise Yahweh, we have this 7-year cycle. But what's important is, when is the Jubilee? Because the Shemitah can happen from here to eternity. There's only one Jubilee. And that's why Yahweh probably is hidden this way. Because when the next Jubilee comes, that's the Jubilee. That means Yeshua's feet are going to be on this earth on the Mount of Olives, and he'll be ruling from Jerusalem. So that's the important part of it. And Genesis 6 says, "And it came about that men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. And the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were good, and they took wives for themselves from all those whom they choose. And Yahweh said, My spirit will not always strive with mankind. In their going astray, he is flesh, and his days shall be 120. And the word there is years or times. You know, the same we were talking about yesterday in Revelation, a times, times, and half a time. It might, that word there might be a year, but it might not be. This word here could be 120 years or 120 times. So when we're looking at what is a full time period in Scripture, is a Jubilee. A Jubilee is one full time period, a 50-year time period. Another time period that's interesting is the word 70. In the Bible study, I'm going to show you that. Because 70 is an endpoint number. You know, and there's a lot of things that have happened. But the as far as time in working with a calendar, Yahweh works in jubilees. That's what sets times, and we see that with prophecy, right? So if 50 is a time, and there's 120 times or 120 jubilees, then what does it tell you? How long will man be on this earth before the seventh millennial starts? 6,000 years. So that fits perfect. So the key is, what year is it then? If Yeshua has to return before the year 6,000, what year are we in? The Jews say we're in the year... Is it 57 something or 58 something? Yeah, but if you look at the Jewish calendar, the reason why they have that year is because they only put 20 years to the Persian Empire because of Daniel's prophecy. Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 9, that told exactly when the Messiah coming, was so defined and so many people were coming to faith that they simply changed the history. So we can't go by the Jewish time reckoning. It's not the year 57, 96, or 58, 20, whatever their year is, it's definitely wrong. There's no doubt about it. So how close are we to 6,000? It's like if anyone ever saw the movie Time Changer. Remember at the end, he keeps cranking and it keeps going down. We don't know. We know we're close. We know we're in 59, 50-something, right? Or in the past 50. It could be 59, 76, 59, 86. 5992, right?
Yeah.
We don't know. Keep cranking that. But we're somewhere there. We're not in 1,000. We're not even in 5,000. This we're in 59 above 70, 80, right? So we're close. We're close to that jubilee, and not just a jubilee, but the jubilee. Like I say in Hebrew, the way you could tell something is specific, when he's talking about, like, messenger of Yahweh, we went over this, right? There's many messengers of Yahweh. Men can be messengers of Yahweh. Cherubs can be messengers of Yahweh. But whenever the ha, you know, the perfect article is there, the messenger of Yahweh, there's only one. That's Yeshua. So now we're talking about ha jubilee, right? Ha yobel, the jubilee year. So this is going to be the jubilee of jubilees, you know, the one that's coming. So it's important for us to be looking at this. And again, we don't know. 2 Peter 3, verse 7 confirms this. But the heavens and the earth now, having been stored up by the same word, are being kept for fire to a day of judgment and destruction of wicked men. Isn't it interesting that in the last few years, the earth is burning. Everywhere from the rainforest in Brazil, you know, to California in America, to many other parts all over the earth. The earth is burning on fire. And it says here the same. But to each of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. Because of this, he says, having ascended on high, he led captivity... I'm reading the wrong scripture. I'm sorry. But... Verse 7, but to the heavens and the earth now, having been stored up by the same word, are being kept to a day of fire, judgment, and destruction of wicked men. Well, I'm sorry, I don't have the other. Just wait here 1 second. But let not this one thing be hidden from you, beloved, that one day with Yahweh is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Yahweh is not negligent concerning his promises, right? He's not off. As some count negligence, but is patient toward us, not wishing any should perish, but all come to repentance. So, again, think about it. If Yahweh would have brought his kingdom 30 years ago, none of us might have been here. Or 50 years ago, right? We wouldn't have been in it. So, Yahweh is not negligent, but he's patient. He's patient so more people can come to salvation. But we're hitting a point where more people aren't going to come to salvation, but the ones that are already there are falling away. And that's what happens in the end time. There's a great falling away of people. And when that happens, that's where Yahweh comes. It talks about him cutting the plan short. But very clearly he says, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. The same way that Yahweh created the earth in 6 days, and the seventh day was the Sabbath, and he has 6 years of working and harvesting, and the seventh year is the Shemitah, he has 6,000 years for mankind to follow his ways, to go his own ways, and then the 7,000 year is the millennium. It's his kingdom to the earth. And then after that, it's kingdom forever. So, all these things clearly show us, and from history, we clearly know we are in the year 5,900 and... So again, we might be going into the last 7 years. Or maybe there's one more. But we will know shortly, you know. But boy, things are certainly showing us the road is getting narrower and the sand clock is ticking. I don't know if you ever heard that the world, they have a doomsday clock. Has anybody ever heard of that? And they'll show like we are, you know, a quarter to 12. Like when it hits midnight, that's the end of the world. They just changed it and they said we're 90 seconds to doomsday. 90 seconds. Yeah. So it's interesting that Russia has now a heavier system of nuclear weapons, and they can get a weapon from Russia to Europe in 90 seconds. A nuclear bomb to U.S., 4 minutes. So they have these, you know, supersonic powered, and here we are, you know. So if there was ever a time to be talking about the Jubilee, now is the time. Now is the time. It's a great message. Isaiah 61. This is coming from Matthew 4:4. This is the first scripture that Yeshua ever read when he was in the synagogue. So now that we understand about Jubilee, right? Now that we understand about Kinsman Redeemer, now that we understand about freeing captives, right? Let's read some scriptures and let's see how much Yahweh shows in scripture about the Kinsman Redeemer. Isaiah 61. In verse 1, the spirit of Adonai Yahweh is on me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach the good news to the meek. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, right? So what is that telling us? Jubilee. Mm-hmm. And recovery of sight to the blind, and complete opening to the bound ones. To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh, the Jubilee. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what's interesting? Yeshua stopped right there. This is the first time he's in Nazareth, right, where no man is a prophet in his own home, his own town. He gets up in the synagogue. He reads this. He closes his scriptures, you know, or the scroll, goes back down, and they're all like, isn't that the carpenter's kid? You know, what's going on here? What's saying? And they wanted actually to stone him for that, because he said, this is fulfilled in your ears today. So what was he saying? I am the kinsman redeemer. And that's why they wanted to stone him. So he stopped right there in the middle of the verse, because that was his purpose the first time. But what's his purpose the second time? And to tell the day of vengeance of our Elohim. Wow. So like I said, why did they miss Yeshua the first time? Because they were looking for the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of Yahweh came. Why are they going to miss him this time? Because they're looking for baby Jesus and the Lion of Judah is coming. He's coming. He's coming with a sword in his hand. He's coming to fight. He's coming to destroy all his enemies. And that's part of his job as the kinsman redeemer. To appoint to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of infirmity, so that one calls them trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh in order to beautify himself. So for the people that are his bride, for the people that are trusting in him, he's coming with healing. He's coming with comfort. But for his enemies, the ones that are destroying the world, these evil, evil, sick men that are doing all these things to kill all these people on the earth, they better look out. You know, they're going to see that their bloodline isn't as what they think it might be. And they shall build old ruins. They shall raise up former desolation. And they shall restore the way cities, ruins of generations and generations. And foreigners will stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of strangers shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called priests of Yahweh, right? We were talking about that at the school. The Melchizedek priesthood. It will be said of you, ministers of our Elohim. You will eat the wealth of the nations. You shall revel in their glory. Instead of your shame and your disgrace, double. They rejoice in their portion. They shall possess a second time in their land. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Wow. They will possess a second time in their land. Mm-hmm. So our brother Judah is already back. Mm-hmm. They're holding down the fort. But when the kinsman redeemer comes, what does he do? He brings all the tribes back to the land for their inheritance. Because we just read it in Leviticus. In the Jubilee year, the land goes back to the people. Praise Yahweh for that. Psalm 68 and verse 18. Psalm 68 and verse 18. You have gone up on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts from among men, yea, to dwell among the rebellious, O Yah Elohim. Blessed be Yahweh. Day by day he carries a load for us, the El of our salvation, Yeshua. Selah. Our El is to us the El of deliverance, and to Yahweh Adonai are the issues of death. Wow. So here it is, again, our kinsman redeemer. Psalm 85. He's redeeming the captives from the captivity of their sin. And I've talked about this many times. The problem in the first century for many of the Jews that were living in that time is they understood, because Israel in that day, they were not free. They were Roman properties. So they understand they were captive by a captor. But they didn't understand, so they were looking for more like a King David to come, a warrior to come and fight and give them the land back. But they didn't understand, unless they were freed from their sins, that would be it. They would never get salvation. So now they will understand that, and we understand that these days. Psalm 85, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. O Yahweh, you have been gracious to your land. You have turned back the captivity of Jacob. You have taken away the iniquity of your people. You covered all of their sins, Selah. You gathered all their wrath. You turned from the heat of your anger. O Elohim of our salvation, Yeshua, turn us and break up your anger with us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you draw out your finger to all generations? Will you revive us so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, O Yahweh, and give us your salvation, your Yeshua. I will hear what Yahweh Elohim will say, for he will speak peace to his people and his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation, his Yeshua, is near to the ones fearing him, for glory to dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Truth shall spout out to the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Yea, Yahweh shall give good, and our land shall give its produce. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall make a way for his footsteps. So this is what it's all about. This is the Jubilee. This is the year of return in that year. Psalm 53. Verse 5, there they dreaded with dread where no dread was. For Elohim has scattered the bones of the one who beseeches you. You have put them to shame because Elohim rejects them. Who gives from Zion, Yeshua of Israel? When Elohim brings back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, Israel shall be glad. So this is a concept that has been in Israel from ancient times. You know, that the kinsman redeemer will return and he will give back the land to the people. Ephesians 4 in verse 7 and 8. Ephesians 4 verse 7 and 8 says, but to each one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. Because of this, he says, having ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Exactly what I just read in the scripture before that. Through the grace of Yeshua, he freed the captives. Restoring land means nothing if you're going to die. So it's really interesting because Judah has the land, but they're still captive by their sins. We're free from our sins, but we're wanderers among the nations. So in that day, when the Jubilee comes, the Messiah will bring the two sticks together. And that's why he does it that way. We'll read that a little later. Isaiah 49. And like I say, when you understand this, and you, the scripture, there's just no way that Yeshua would return any other year than right before the Jubilee starts. Isaiah 49, verse 1 through 13, I'm going to read here. Hear me, coastlands, and you people from afar, and prick up your ear. Yahweh called me from the womb. He mentioned my name from my mother's belly. And he made my mouth like a sharp sword. He hit me in the shadow of his hand, and he made me a polished arrow. He hit me in his quiver. And he said to me, you are my servant to Israel, you in whom I shall be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with Yahweh and my work with Elohim. And now says Yahweh, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him. Though Israel is not gathered, yet I am honored in the eye of Yahweh, and my Elohim is my strength. And he said, is it too little that you should be my servant to raise the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you my Yeshua to be a light to the nations to the end of the earth. So says Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, to the despised of soul, to the hated of nation, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and rise up, and chiefs shall worship, because of Yahweh who is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he chose you. So says Yahweh, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant of the people to establish the land, to cause to inherit the desolate inheritances. To say to the prisoners, go out, to those in darkness reveal yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, and the heat of the sun will not strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, and he shall guide them by the springs of water. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be set on high. Behold, these shall come from afar, lo, from the north, from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, as far as China. As far as China they'll be coming. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break out into singing, O mountains, for Yahweh has comforted his people and have pity on his afflicted. Drop down to verse 18. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather and come to you. As I live, says Yahweh, you shall surely wear all of them as an ornament and bind them on as a bride. For your waste and your deserted places and your lands of ruin shall even now be too narrow to live there. And they who swallow you will be far away. The sons of your bereavement shall yet say in your ears, the place is too narrow for me. Come near to me so that I may have place to live. Then you shall say in your heart, who has borne these to me? And I am bereaved and desolate, turned aside and to exile. Who then has brought these? Behold, I was left alone. From where do these come? So says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and will set up my banner to the people. And they shall bring your sons in the bosom, and your daughters shall be carried on the shoulder. And kings shall be supporting you, and their princesses your nurses. They shall bow to you, faces to the earth, and lick up the dust of your feet. And you will know that I, Yahweh, by whom they wait for me, shall not be ashamed. Drop down to verse 26. And those who oppress you I will feed with their own flesh, and they will be drunk by their own blood as with fresh wine. And all flesh shall know that I am Yahweh and your Savior, Yeshua, the kinsman redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. And our note there says, Yeshua is the kinsman redeemer who in Scripture is the legal close relative who was able to redeem a relative from debt and to restore to them property that was lost. Messiah is showing that Israel had more than a physical debt to pay, but a spiritual debt for their sins, that he only he could pay as their kinsman redeemer. So the same word that's used in Leviticus that is used there. So, wow, Yahweh tells us the whole thing. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 11. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 11. We, all of us, roar like bears, and moaning, we moan like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for Yeshua, but he is far from us. For our rebellions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and lying against Yahweh, and turning back from our Elohim. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and murmuring words of falsehood from the heart. And justice is driven back, and righteousness stands far off. For truth stumbles in the plaza, and right is not able to enter. And the truth is lacking, and whoever turns from evil makes himself a prey. And Yahweh saw, and it was evil in his eyes, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no intercessor. And his own arm, his own right arm saved for him, and his righteousness sustained him. And he put on righteousness like armor, and a helmet of Yeshua he put on his head. And he put on robes of vengeance his clothing, and he put on zeal like a mantle. According to works is so he will repay fury to his foes, recompense to his foes. He will repay recompense to the coasts. So they shall fear the name of Yahweh for the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the foes comes like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh will cause him to flee. And the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, comes from Mount Zion. And those in Jacob who turn back from their rebellion, declares Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh. My spirit who is on you, and my words which I put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your seed, or out of the mouth of your seed's seed, from now on and forever, says Yahweh. Wow. So again, the ones who are his, the ones who are the children of Israel, the ones who are his redeemed, we're waiting in anticipation for him. We're waiting for him to come. But the others, his enemies, look out, because he's coming with vengeance in that day. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Who is this who comes from Edom with crimson garments from Basra? This one adorned in his clothing, inclining with great power. It is I, to speak in righteousness, the great, or the Rab Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, right? That's what the word there is for. And it's interesting. Where is he coming from? He's coming from Basra. It's just south of here. You know, so we have a frontline seat. He's coming from Basra. And his garments are red. Why? Why is your clothing red and your garment like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden in the winepress, I alone, and no man of the people was with me. And I tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their juice shall be spattered on my garments, and I will pollute all my clothes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. The Jubilee. The year of my redeemed. And I looked and no one was helping. And I was astonished that no one was upholding, just like the last scripture. Then my own arm saved for me, and my fury upheld me. And I tread down people in my anger and made them drunk in my fury, and I poured their juice to the earth. And I will mention the mercies of Yahweh, the praises of Yahweh, according to all that Yahweh has benefited us, and to the great good to the house of Israel, by which he benefited them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, sons that do not lie. And he became to them a savior. In all their affliction he was not a foe, and the messenger of his face saved them. And his love and his pity was their kinsman redeemer. And he bore them up and lifted them up all the days of old. So here we are. Yeshua, he says, is their kinsman redeemer. Verse 15, drop down to verse 15. Look down from heaven and peer from the place of your holiness and your glory. Where is your zeal and your might? The roaring of your bowels and the mercies toward me, and they held back. For you are our father. Though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, Yahweh, are our father, our kinsman redeemer. Your name is from everlasting. Right? So, Abraham doesn't know us. Why? Because Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob became Israel, and he had 12 sons, the sons of Israel. So Abraham doesn't know about that. Abraham was dead. you know, before that. So Abraham doesn't know us as tribes, mm-hmm. and Israel doesn't accept us. Mm-hmm. But Yahweh does. Mm-hmm. Yahweh does. And he and Yeshua are our kinsman redeemer. And like I said, he will come and he will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. And the first thing we do is go back to our inheritance. We go back to the land of Israel. Verse 17, O Yahweh, why do you make us wander from your ways? You harden our heart from your fear. For your servant's sake, return the tribes of your inheritance. For a little while, your holy people possessed it. Our enemies have trampled your sanctuary. We are of old. You never ruled over them. Your name was never called on them. So while the enemies were there and having the place, he's saying it's not their inheritance. But Yahweh allowed it to punish Israel for their sins. Isaiah 60 in verse 12. And, you know, again, I've said this many times doing the Bible studies in the book of Isaiah. From Isaiah 40 to Isaiah 66 is all end time. It's all about the Messiah, you know, and it shows the servant of Yahweh, clearly shows they're not the same being. You know, the Messiah is the servant of Yahweh. He's not Yahweh the Father. But we see this is all end time. When you start from Isaiah 40 to Isaiah 66 is all end time and millennial. Mm-hmm. So over and over and over, he's talking about himself being the kinsman redeemer to us in the end time. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 60 and verse 12. For the nations and the kingdom that shall not serve you will perish, yea, the nations shall be utterly destroyed. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the juniper, the box tree, the cypress together to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Yea, I will glorify the place of my feet. Also, the sons of ones afflicting you shall come bowing to you, and all who despised you shall fall at the soles of your feet. And they shall call you the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Instead of your being forsaken and hated, so that no one passes through, I will make you for everlasting majesty, a joy of many generations. You shall also suck the milk of nations, and you shall suck the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your kinsman redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Drop down to verse 18. Violence shall not still be heard in your land or wasting a ruin within your borders. But you shall call out to Yeshua by name as your wall of protection and your gates praise. You shall call out to Yeshua by name. And our note there says to call out the Hebrew word kora. That's the idea of approaching a person, personally of going up to them and calling him out by name. This word would also be used to invite a guest. So literally it's showing them knowing the name of Yeshua and recognizing him and calling, hey, Yeshua, here I am. You know? So you will call out to Yeshua by name as your wall of protection and your gates of praise. And that's what we do to our enemies, right? We don't fight our own battles. We call out to Yeshua to fight these battles for us. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Isaiah 53, the greatest messianic chapter in all scripture that shows Yeshua, says, all we like sheep have gone astray, all we, each one turned to his own way, and Yahweh made meet in him the iniquity of all of us. Drop down to verse 11. He shall see the life of light, the fruit of the travail of his soul. He shall be fully satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify for many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Because of this I will divide to him, the Messiah, with the great, and with the strong he will divide the spoil, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was counted with those transgressing, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for transgressors. Wow. So only Yeshua qualified to be the kinsman redeemer. There's nobody else. There's nobody else on this earth that could qualify to redeem the souls of every human being that ever lived, because only he was the one who created us. Ephesians 2. But up until now, right? The tribes of Israel, in my book, The Chosen People, goes over this. 740 BC to 718 BC, what happened? The Israelites basically were taken off the land of Israel and taken into captivity. You know, few of them assimilated with Judah to the south, but most of them went to captivity. They went all over the world. The vast majority today are in, you know, Europe and United States, but there are Israelites living everywhere in the world, as we see from China to Africa, Central and South America, Asia, all over. And we see it. We're in the room here. You know, in this room, we haven't counted yet. We probably have a dozen countries sitting here right in this room from Israelites. But at the same rate, the rabbis actually, in Second Temple times, they actually made a law that because these Israelites were out of the land of Israel for so long, that they were no longer Israelites. You know, the same way it says, if a foreigner, depending on who he is, comes into Israel after four generations or after seven generations, they're an Israelite. They're not immediately an Israelite. It takes so many generations. Well, the rabbis figured the same thing. Well, if the Israelites are in their diaspora for so many hundreds of years, they're no longer Israelites. And that's why, if you look at the Second Temple, you had an area where only the Israelite quarter could go, and then you had an area where that was for Gentiles. And there was actually a sign, they found it. They found the stone that said, death if any Gentile passes by this point. And the Israelites, the tribes, Ephraim, Manasseh, Dan, Gad, right, Issachar, they had to stay on the other side of that wall in the Gentile area. Can you imagine that you're an Israelite at that time and you're coming home for Sukkot to Israel and you have to stay on the other side of the wall in the Gentile area? And we're going to read it here. We're going to read about how Yeshua broke down that literal wall that was there. Ephesians, the second chapter, starting in verse 11. As kinsman redeemer, he says, because of this, remember that you, the nations, who were then in the flesh, and when he's talking about the nation, he's talking about the Israelites in the nations. He's not talking about Gentiles. It's a whole different word. You and the nations who were then in the flesh from the beginning, and you were called uncircumcision, differing from those called circumcision, which is the work of the hands of the flesh. That at that time, you were without Messiah. Right? When they're in diaspora, the Israelites, they were lost. They had nothing to look forward to. They couldn't even come back to their own land. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Elohim in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who were afar off are brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace, who has made both one, Echad, and he broken down the wall of separation between them. This was a literal wall there at that place. In his flesh, he has caused to cease the enmity due to man-made laws and regulations. These are laws by the rabbis. That he might in himself create the two into one new man, making peace. We're going to read it in a minute, Ezekiel 37. And he reconciled both in one body to Elohim and destroyed the enmity through the crucifixion. And coming, he proclaimed peace to you, the ones afar off and to the ones near. For through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father, whether Jew or Ephraimite. So then, you are no longer strangers and family members living abroad. And this is why people say, well, how do you know this isn't talking to Gentiles? Because of this verse. If you look up the words, he's saying you're no longer strangers and family members living abroad. You would only use these type of words to somebody that was part of the Israelite clan. You would never use these words to somebody who was a Gentile. So he says, so then you are no longer strangers and family members living abroad, but you are natives, right? You're a native of the same family of the saints and children of the family of Yahweh, being built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua Messiah being the cornerstone of the building, in whom all the building being fitted together grows in a holy sanctuary in Yahweh, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of Elohim in the Spirit. So, wow, you know, as Ephraimites, we had no hope before that, right? For hundreds of years, they're living in diaspora. They joined, they assimilated with the nations they were with, and they were considered Gentiles. And, like I said, even if they wanted to come, they had to go to the court of the Gentile. But through Yeshua, not only Israelites, but real Gentiles. If somebody's a real Gentile, they're not Israelite, they have nothing to do with Israel, they come from wherever, they can be grafted into that tree of Israel. That's the beauty of it. Yahweh is not a respecter of person. But the plan he is still doing right now is the plan with the nation of Israel. So anyone can join and be grafted into that tree, but he is still Elohim of Israel, still the tree of Israel. Now we already saw, we read, when Yeshua returns, he says he's not only going to honor him to be the redeemer of Israel, but he will be with the redeemer of all over the earth at that point when he returns. Isaiah 44, verse 21 through 23. Isaiah 44. He says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You shall not forget me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a thick cloud, and your sins like a cloud. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for Yahweh has done it. Shout, O lower parts of the earth. Burst forth into praise, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. Sing praise, because Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, and he glorifies himself in Israel. So this is why, like I said, as important as the Shemitah year is, it's nothing compared to the Jubilee. The Jubilee is the time where everything will go back to the way it was in Eden. Ezekiel 37, in verse 15. And we see what we just read here in Ephesians about bringing the two into one. Ezekiel 37 and verse 15. And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, and you, son of man, take one stick to yourself and write on it for Judah and for his companions, the sons of Israel, the ones who joined with Judah at the captivity. And take another stick and write for it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and the house of Israel, his companions. And draw them one to one for yourself into one ikad stick. And they shall become ikad in your hand. And when the sons of your people shall speak to you, saying, will you declare to us what this means? Say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, with his companions. And I will put them with him with the sticks of Judah, and I will make them one stick, and they will be one ikad in my hand. And the sticks shall be in your hand, the ones on which you write before their eyes. And say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations, there where they have gone, and will gather them from all around, and will bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be a king to all of them. And they shall not be two nations anymore, and they will not be split into two kingdoms anymore. This hasn't happened yet. Why? Because the kinsman redeemer hasn't come. And they will not still be defiled by their idols, even with their filthy idols, nor with all their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places where they have sinned in them, and I will cleanse them. So they shall be for me a people, and I will be for Elohim to them. And my servant David, King David, shall be king over them. And there will be one shepherd to all of them. And they shall walk in my judgments and keep my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell on the land that I give to my servant, to Jacob, there where your fathers dwelt in it. And they shall dwell on it, they and their sons and the sons of their sons forever. And my servant David will be a ruler to them forever. And I will cut a covenant of peace with them. An everlasting covenant will be with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will put Aleph Tav, my sanctuary, in their midst forever. And my tabernacle shall be with them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. And when my sanctuary will be in their midst forever, the nation shall know that I, Yahweh, sanctify Israel. So wow, this is the time, like I said, when Yeshua comes back, he redeems the tribes, and he brings the two sticks into one. Isaiah 59, 15 and 16, two more scriptures, we'll be finished. Isaiah 59, 15 and 16. And the truth was lacking, and whoever turns from evil makes himself a prey. And Yahweh saw, and it was evil in his eyes, and there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no intercessor. And his own arm, his own right arm saved for him, and his righteousness sustained him. So we see that man cannot save himself. Man cannot save himself. He needs a kinsman redeemer. He's not able. The penalty is too far. The penalty is too high. Man is not able to redeem himself from that. And that's why, like I said, it's exciting to keep the Shemitah for the blessings that they have. But to me, it's more exciting to keep the Shemitah knowing that very soon, the year after one of these Shemitahs is going to be the Jubilee. It's going to be the year that Yahweh comes back and the great trumpet is blown and the Jubilee year will begin. Hebrews 6. Last scripture here. In verse 13, and then I'll drop down to verse 17. For Yahweh, having made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself. Verse 17. Therefore, Yahweh, being abundantly willing to show to the heirs of the promise that his promising was irreversible, he sealed it with an oath. So that by the promise of the oath, which changed not, and in which Elohim cannot lie, we find courage to hold fast to the hope that has been promised to us by him in whom we have been taken refuge, which we have as an anchor of the soul, both certain and sure, and it enters into that within the veil, where Yeshua entered as forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So mankind from the Garden of Eden has really failed. He put himself in a real, real desperate situation. Like it talks about in Romans, there's none righteous, no, not one, not one that's following Yahweh. But Yahweh, in his mercy, from the beginning, you know, the Lamb of Yah slain from the beginning of the earth, had it set up that there would be a kinsman redeemer, you know, his right hand, the right hand of Yahweh, Yeshua Messiah, that would come at the proper time when the Jubilee is here, and he would redeem the earth. He will destroy all the enemies that are there that are not looking for his coming. And he will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. He'll gather the tribes together. He'll bring them back to Jerusalem. And we will reign with him for 1,000 years and forever. Wow. How does that sound? Pretty good? No more sickness, no more suffering, no more death. There is only one who came from heaven as the eternal creator and son of Yahweh, who lived a life without sin and qualified to be the kinsman redeemer. Only he can restore what was lost by the sins of the first covenant, the land, the covenant promises, in freeing us from the death penalty that held us captive. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, Yeshua HaMashiach. Yahweh bless. Haksameach.